I got good news and bad news this morning. The good news is I have a short 5-minute, 2-point message. The bad news is I have a long introduction. And so it's going to take me a while to get to my message. And so I just ask you to hang on. And when I get there, I'll tell you. And it's wonderful truth. You know, the book of Judges that we're in is a yo-yo kind of book. Yo-yo from the standpoint that when the nation of Israel served God, they were blessed by God. But when the nation of Israel turned against God and they worshiped false gods, they were punished. And in the book of Judges, that cycle happened 6 or 7 different times. And it's called the book of Judges because God used men and women, judges, to lead his people back to him and then to lead his people as they defeated the nations that God used to mete out his punishment. And that's what's happening in chapters 6, 7, and 8 of the book of Judges, where we find the story of this man named Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, verse 1, you don't need to turn to it, but the Bible says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And as a result of them turning away from the Lord," here's what the second part of that verse says, "and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And by the way, let me tell you, God hasn't changed. If his children turn away from him, if they begin to disobey God, if they begin to do evil, punishment will come. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." And God did not punish his people in the book of Judges, nor does he punish his people today out of spite or out of revenge. He does it to get us back to him. He chastens us to get our attention so that instead of wandering away from him, we'll get back to him, back to where we're supposed to be. And so Israel turned away from God, and God sent Midian, the nation of Midian, as punishment. And again, I won't ask you to turn to it, but if you read in chapter 6, here's what you'll find. Israel, because of the Midianites, they left their homes. They moved into dens and caves for fear of the Midianites. When they planted their crops, Midian came and, the Bible says, destroyed the increase of the earth. The Bible says they left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. And here's what it says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites." They were greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Enter the next judge, a young man by the name of Gideon, whose father's name was Joash, from the tribe of Manasseh. He was out threshing wheat, hiding, by the way, so the Midianites couldn't find him. And the Lord sent an angel with a message for Gideon. And here's what the angel told Gideon. He said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." The Lord is with thee. You're a mighty man of valor, and God is with you. And here's what Gideon answered. "If the Lord be with us, why then is all of this befallen us? Where be all his miracles?" And by the way, that's still a good question for today. I mean, not only do Christians ask that question at certain times in their lives, but the world asks that question many times. God, if you're with us. God, if you are blessing us as a nation. God, if you're still God, why is all this happening? Where be your miracles? Why is abortion legal? Why are homosexuals getting legal status? Why have so many died in Iraq? Why does terrorism still seem to win? In the book of Psalms, the Bible says, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And people are asking today, well, where's God? Where is all his miracles? Where is all his blessing? And I got some news for you. Any nation that stays tuned in to God, that makes God the Lord of their nation, will be blessed by that God. But a nation that takes God out of their government, a nation that takes God out of their schools, a nation who tries to take God out from their pledge and off their money, and all the things that's going on in our nation today, cannot expect the blessings of God. And what's the cure for that? What's the remedy? It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and confess their sins, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. And if we want the blessings of God on our nation, we don't have to look to the heathen that don't know God. We have to look in the mirror. We have to look in ourselves. God says, I'll bless your nation if we as Christians will do what he wants us to do. So Gideon says, where be all your miracles? If you're really with us, where are your miracles? And here's what he says. But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Then God says to Gideon, after Gideon has bewailed and mourned and said, you've forsaken us and we've been delivered into the Midianites, we have no hope. And God said this to Gideon, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And again, I'm so glad when God's people have paid the price, God is always willing to forgive them and welcome them back home. I'm so glad that God always has another judge, at least in the book of Judges, always had another leader for the nation of Israel. And I'm so glad today that 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. Aren't you? If you know it, you know what I'm talking about. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can't tell you how many times I've run to that verse. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I'm not perfect. If you don't know that, just hang around with me for a little bit, and you'll figure it out pretty quick. I'm not perfect. I'm going to sin. But I'm glad that I've got a Father in heaven, as we sang about in Sunday school this morning, that when I wander away, he doesn't forget me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. And I'm so glad that I've got a God that when I wander off that straight and narrow path, I can claim a verse like 1 John 1:9, confess my sins, and know that when I come back, he'll welcome me home. Forgive me, cleanse me, use me. This angel came to Gideon and says, you're the guy. God's picked you. Going to use you to free the nation of Israel. And Gideon, as you that know the story, he wasn't too sure that he was the right guy. I mean, he said, hey, my family is the smallest in Israel, smallest of the tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. Are you sure, God, you want to use me? And over again in the Bible, we read this same story. God doesn't use the mighty, he uses the weak. He doesn't use the rich, he uses the poor. He doesn't use the many, he uses the few. God doesn't use people who think they can do it. God uses people who knows that he can do it. Gideon had to be convinced. You read chapter 6, 7, and 8. God had to give him three signs that he was the guy. The first sign was Gideon said to the angel, hey, I want to give you a present. And he went and made a kid and cooked some flesh and some unleavened cakes and the broth. And he brought it to the angel. And the angel said, put it on the rock. Put the meat and put the bread on the rock and pour the broth over it. And Gideon did that. And the Bible says the angel took his staff and with the end of his staff touched the flesh, the meat that Gideon had prepared for him. And fire rose up out of the rock and consume the meat and the bread. You remember the second sign was the test of the fleece. Gideon put fleece out and said, God, if I'm really the guy, if you really want me to lead the army, then I'm going to put this fleece out, and the first night I want the ground to be dry all around it, but I want the fleece to be wet. And when he got up the next morning, the ground was dry all around it, and he got up and he wrung bowls of water out of the fleece. And Gideon said, hey, let's do it different tonight. Let the fleece be dry and the ground wet with dew. And that's exactly how God did it the second night. Gideon still wasn't convinced, and God said, I want you to go down to the camp of the Midianites. I want you to see what's going on there. And he snuck down there with his servant, and he heard two men of the Midianite army talking. One of them said, I had a dream. I dreamed a barley cake tumbled out of Israel, and it knocked over the tents of Midian. And the guy he was talking to, let me tell you what that means. That's Gideon, the son of Joash. God's going to use him to defeat us. When Gideon got those signs, he realized that he was the one that was picked by God for the job. And so he raised an army. He sent a call out through Israel and said, we're going to go fight the Midianites. If you want to be in the army, come join up. 32,000 men came at Gideon's call. But with 32,000 men, even though that sounds like a big number, they were greatly, greatly outnumbered. The Bible doesn't say how many Midianites were there, but it does say this. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. I don't know how many there was, Brother Reg, but there was a bunch of them. And if you were going to pick a winner in this fight, here were the Midianites that could not be numbered like the sand of the sea. Here were the Israelites with 32,000 men. If you were going to pick a winner, you'd pick the Midianites, because they far outnumbered Israel. And God comes along and said, Gideon, you got too many men in your army. He said this, I can't give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. God said to Gideon, you got too many men. Even though you're outnumbered, if you win with 32,000 men, there's going to be some people that will say, well, we won this battle on our own. Our own hand has gotten us the victory. Our own hand hath saved us. And God says, we can't have that. So Gideon, you tell all the soldiers, if they're afraid, they can go home. I can just see it. Gideon went out, 32,000 men gathered around him. He said, who's afraid? 22,000 men raised their hand. Gideon says, go home, guys. I don't need you. 22,000 of his 32,000 went home. And I'm sure Gideon said, oh, boy, we're in trouble now. We were outnumbered when we had 32,000 men. Now we only got 10. The odds have been reduced by two-thirds. They've gotten worse. God come to Gideon and says, hey, you still got too many. I'm going to give you a drinking test. It was in the last verse that Brother Chuck read. Here's what happened. We got to cut it down even further. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the creek. Brother Leonard knows what that is, the creek. I want you to go down to the creek, and we're going to have a drinking test. All of those that get down on their knees and drink like a dog, you put in one group. And all those that get down on their knees and put their hands in the water and bring it up to their mouth, you put in another group. Well, there were 9,700 that got down on their knees and drank like a dog. There were only 300 that put their hand down to the water and brought it up. And God said to Gideon, send the 9,700 home. With the 300 men, you will go against Midian and you will win. Now here's what happened. Gideon took the 300 men. He gave each one of them a trumpet. He gave each one of them a lamp and a pitcher, a clay pitcher. And he says, you hold the trumpet in your right hand and you hold the lamp in your left hand and you put the pitcher over the lamp. We're going to divide you into three companies, 100 men in each company. We're going to come to the camp of Midian at the beginning of the second watch when they just changed the sentries. And you watch what I do, and what I do, you do exactly. And so Gideon led his 100 men. They came to their spot around the camp, beginning of the second watch. Gideon blew his trumpet. Ba-da-da-da-da! He broke the clay pitcher that was around his lamp. He held the lamp in his left hand. He held the trumpet in his right hand, blew the trumpet again, and shouted, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And the Bible says they won a great victory. These 300 men prevailed over the Midianites. Now let me ask you a question. Who won the battle? Was it God or was it the 300 men? Before you answer, let me remind you of something. Something I never thought about until this week when I was reading through the book of Judges again. Hey, Nick, help me answer. If you're holding the trumpet in your right hand and you're holding the lamp in your left hand, where do you hold your sword at? With your foot? Where do you hold your spear at? I mean, you got a trumpet in your right hand, you got a lamp in your left hand. Where do you put your spear? I mean, you put it underneath your arm and throw it like that? Where do you hold the bow? Look, if you got a trumpet in your right hand and a lamp in your left hand, you got nothing to kill the enemy with. You kill somebody with a trumpet? Maybe my playing might kill them, one or two, Brother Clint, but it wouldn't wipe out an innumerable amount of Midianites. No, I'll tell you who won the victory that day. It wasn't the 300 men of Israel. It was their God in heaven that won the victory. Now, that's my introduction. Here's my 5-minute, 2-point message. You ready? Number one, salvation is all of God and none of man. Salvation is all of God and none of man. We don't have anything to do with it. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. But I want to tell you something this morning. I want to remind you of a blessed truth this morning. When we could not pay our sin debt, God sent His only begotten Son, and Jesus paid the total price of our sin death when He died on Calvary and shed His precious blood for you and me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He cried out from the cross, Jesus did, it is finished. What He was saying is nothing else needs to be done. Everything that needs to be done to pay for your sin has been accomplished. We sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Salvation is all Jesus. We don't have to add anything to it. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus the Lord's Supper. It's not Jesus plus the Baptist church. It's not Jesus plus turning over the new leaf. It's Jesus, only Jesus. No works can be added to it. Not of works, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. It's all Jesus. All we got to do is receive it. And if you're here today and you've never received the Son of God as your personal Savior, the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, I'd invite you to do it today. Because salvation is all of God and none of man. And then number two, the victorious Christian life that God wants every single one of us to have is all of God and none of man. You see, God has a plan for each one of our lives, and He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to have a victorious life. I want to tell you, that's none of us. It's all of God. I called my message this morning. I took that phrase where God said, He said, I can't give you the victory with 32,000 men, else Israel will vaunt themselves up and say, my own hand hath saved me. I called my message this morning, mine own hand hath not saved me. I was saved by nothing that I do. And I don't have a victorious life by anything I do. I have a victorious life because I give my life over to Jesus. That's why it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, but I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And if we want that victorious life, that's what we need to do. We need to get ourselves out of it. We need to let God take control of it. And we need to say, I have no will, but thy will. I thought about this morning. Here's what many of us want to do. We'll make these steps. A car. And we're sitting on the car. And we're driving along. And it represents our life. And many of us think that we get the victorious Christian life by having Jesus sit right here beside us and give us directions on which way to go. That's not the way it works. Here's how it works. We get out of the driver's seat. We say, Jesus, you sit down right there. I'm going to sit down right here, and you take me where you want me to go. And by the way, he doesn't need us leaning over and whispering in his ear. He doesn't need directions from us. He knows exactly where we need to go. He knows exactly what he has planned for our life. And we just need to say, like we sang again, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. My hand hath not saved me. My hand hath not given the victorious life. It's all of God and none of us. And this morning, a little simple truth, but a truth that'll change your life if you'll let it. You're here today, you've never received Christ as your Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You're a sinner. You're under the penalty of that sin. Jesus paid it. Just come and take it. Come and take it. If you're saved and you're still sitting over here in the driver's seat, get out of the car this morning. Walk around it and get over here on the passenger side and say, Jesus, you take over. You take over. It's all of him, none of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simple truths that are in the Bible. We'd be so much better off if we just read them and then take them for how you mean them and just be obedient. And I pray this morning if there's just one person, a young person, an old person, somebody in between that's here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray they'd come in the next few moments. Maybe they'll have to say, hey, Brother Darrell, I don't understand it all, but I believe what you were saying. I know I'm a sinner. I want to trust Christ today. If there's one like that, Father, help them to come. And then for the Christians that are here, speak to our hearts. If we still have our own will, if you're still having to fight us as to what's best for us, I pray we'd surrender this morning and let you take the reins of our life and use us. Bless the invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.